Hi, this is Jason Coghill from Ministry of Psalms, and you're listening to the Impact Program on 3RPP.
What is the purpose and your hope behind your project Ministry of Psalms?
Well, the purpose of it is to encourage the church, encourage Christians. That's the primary purpose of it. Encourage them in reading the Word of God, and in particular the Psalms, and not just to read them, but to store it away in their hearts and in their minds. As Psalm 119 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Now, unless we know that word, it's not going to be a light and a lamp. And unless we have it hid in our hearts and have it in our minds so that we can recall it, it's not going to keep us from sin. And so the ministry, I guess, it's a recorded ministry through the CDs. People can take the word home, the songs home, and listen to them anytime they like. If you've heard it, as you know, it's the Word of God straight from the English translation, mostly NIV, but occasionally I'll substitute another translation in there so it suits better. But yeah, so you can have songs to sing, and it's the Bible. It's the Word of God, and it's different to any other word of man because it's the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are powerful. So that's the purpose, to get people to sing the Psalms and to meditate on the Psalms, I guess is the best word to use, meditate on them. So when we do the ministry live, it's introducing people to the ministry. I usually do it with my wife Jane on flute, who plays on the album, and myself on guitar and vocals, and it's a very simple setup. We simply sing through 9 or 10 psalms, and I introduce each psalm and relate it to the gospel of Christ, and then I sing, and people follow along in their Bibles. The lights are usually on. Well, they are on if I can help it, because I encourage people to read as I sing, read along in the scriptures so they know, yes, this is actually coming out of the Bible pretty much word for word. And then I encourage them to buy a CD, you know, and I wish I could encourage people to buy more Christian CDs, but there's very few I can encourage them to buy. And I know that sounds like a big trumpet blow, but, you know, I think people realise it. Well, hopefully they'll realise more that there is a lot of weak and shallow music out there under the name of Christian music. Sorry, weak and shallow lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, you know, there's a few people that are recording sound teaching, biblical lyrics, and we should buy them get into them.
I like what you mentioned about Christian musicians and lyrics, because that's one of the reasons we actually came to conduct this interview, is to see about you a little bit, to see whether you actually are a Christian, because half the time you don't even know they sing Christian lyrics, but doesn't mean they're a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, Elvis Presley sung Christian songs, and
there's
still a lot of non-Christians who sing Christian songs. And so we wanted to sort of find out a little bit about you so that we could feel comfortable playing Christian music, and also so we can feel comfortable listening to your music as well.
Yeah.
And one thing we found, I was listening to your album, one of your CDs for the first time today, it's really nice to be able to hear all the words properly pronounced. And music was, like, I come from heavy metal music, and God is slowly fixing my brain and bringing into my life proper music. And listening to your music, it's completely different attitude to heavy metal sort of music. And I really appreciate it, because it doesn't draw attention to the singer so much, or the musicians behind, or the feeling that you get. It actually draws attention to the lyrics and the words.
Yeah. Well, it's very important. This is a huge issue, the whole music and lyrics issue, in the Christian church. But it shouldn't be this complicated, really. I mean, there was a time when, you know, churches would sing, well, actually psalms. I think there was a time when pretty much the psalms were exclusively sung, and they would have been sung in church without any musical instruments. They would have just been sung a cappella, unaccompanied, and you would have obviously understood the words. Now today, I mean, look, we're free in God's grace and providence to make music, and you know, make contemporary music and put the word of God to it. But it has to, it's the word of God. It has to be clearly proclaimed. And so therefore, if you're going to put it to music, you need to be very careful with that. The music needs to highlight the words or accompany the tone of the words. I mean, this is a basic musical principle.
Hmm.
You know, if you're singing a song that says "overwhelmed with joy on the heights of joy," then you're going to have a major type, probably a more quicker tempo song.
Hmm.
You know, whereas if you're singing a song that says, "I'm so depressed, I feel like giving up," well, you're not going to have an up tempo, dum bum 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 bum, country sort of, song. So. I mean, it's very simple, concept. And moreover, with the word of God, we should be more careful with that.
Mm.
And I think, as I said to you before, if a person is writing a song and you cannot understand the lyrics at all, then you cannot call that a Christian song, because Christianity is clearly proclaiming God's word clearly, not muffled and mumbled or shouted and so that you can't understand it. It defeats the purpose.
So would you say you're trying to draw attention to the word, and then subsequently that draws attention to God through the word?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Because that's the only really trustworthy source we have.
Well, it is, yes. So I mean,
you go into songwriting outside of the word, and you run into areas of, you know, personal interpretation of scriptures or overemphasizing terrestrial concerns as opposed to heavenly concerns.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a degree of, you know, interpretation. But I think, you know, the Holy Spirit dwelling within God's people, we're going to clearly see the fundamentals and agree on them. There's going to be some other issues, you know, that aren't of salvation importance. But, you know, I guess it depends on what you want to do with music. If you want to just simply entertain Christians, purely entertain them, then sing it how you like.
Mm.
Write the verse, chorus, verse, two choruses, two verses, but arrange it how you like. Put any music you like really to it.
Mm.
If people are going to tap their feet and nod their head and dance around, well, and that's your aim, well, then you'll probably achieve that.
Mm.
If your aim is to bring conviction of sin and joy, the joy of the gospel, then you need to do things differently.
Well, I mentioned to you earlier that that basically, even though there's, when I'm at work in a warehouse environment, that even though there's secular music blaring through the speakers and whatever else is going on, I'm actually, thanks to your, you know, recent album, I'm actually recalling the word of God through song constantly throughout the day.
Mm.
And it's not an effort. It's actually coming. It's like my mind responding to what's going on around me, and it's responding with the word of God, which is, you know, strengthening the bars of my gate.
Yeah. That's good. That's how it should be. And that's why I've endeavoured with this album and with all my albums to make it as, I guess, to borrow a secular term, hooky as I can. You know, there are in most songs definite choruses that you can sing and remember. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. The Psalms themselves do that. They have repetition and what they call parallelism, where one line is A and the next line B, and B reinforces A, and Psalm 119 and others, they're acrostic psalms. They were written like that to aid in memory, I guess, and to be enjoyable as a poetic expression.
Set my heart free.